The first reading is John chapter 18, verses 1 to 14. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side there was an olive grove, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said, and Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you that I am he," Jesus answered. "If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it would be good if one man died for the people.
So from verse 15, Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. You're not one of this man's disciples, are you?" the girl at the door asked Peter. He replied, "I'm not." It was cold, and the servants and officials stood round a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I always taught in the synagogue or temple where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby struck him in the face. "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" he demanded. "If I said nothing wrong," Jesus replied, "testify as to what is wrong. But I spoke the truth. Why did you strike me?" Then Annas sent him, still bound, to Caiaphas, the high priest. As Simon Peter stood warming himself, he was asked, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a cock began to crow.
Well, thank you, Sarah. Good morning from me. It'd be great if you had kept that Bible reading open, because we're going to look at it together, and we've already had the theme of this morning, which is difficult choices, difficult decisions that have to be made. Could I have my PowerPoint screen? Thanks, Eric. So difficult choices. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? Now, in the reading, we heard lots of different individuals, and they're making a decision, a choice, to go one way or on one side or another. Let's bring this forward as the first side. It is what we've called the world. And the world in John's Gospel is a world that's turned away from God and is going its own way and saying no to God's King Jesus. So that's what the world represents. And we have the crown on this side of God's King bringing in God's kingdom. Now you may say, well, it's obvious which side Jesus is going to be on, isn't it? The choices that he makes. Well, let's put Jesus, here. He's God's King. Surely he's going to make wise, sensible choices. But are they easy choices that he has to make? Now let's look at these other figures. Let's just look at the narrative. The first one, the story, just look at it. The first part is all about Judas. Look at what it says. Verse 2, now Judas, who betrayed him. That's Jesus. So Judas is very clearly saying no to God's King. So it's very easy, isn't it, to put Judas on this side as going the way of the world, saying no to Jesus as God's King. But just look what we learn as we look at this story. Just look again at these lots of wonderful details that John records. Jesus, look at this, verse 4, knowing all that was going to happen to him. Jesus knows that he must be rejected and suffer and die. So that's the choice as God's King that Jesus must make. He must be rejected. He must suffer and die. He knows what's going to happen to him. And some other even more extraordinary things, as we'll come to in a moment. Look what he says. Verse 4, Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, who is it you want? Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. I am he, Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, I am he, look at this. They drew back and fell to the ground. Who is God's King? Jesus. Do you notice what he says? I am he. So he takes on himself the name from the Old Testament for Yahweh, I am. And they fall to the ground. They're in the presence of God. Look, verse 7 again, he asked them, who is it you want? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. I told you that I am he. Jesus answered, and if you're looking for me, let these men go. This happened so that the words he'd spoken would be fulfilled. I've not lost one of those you gave me. So it's very clear what side Judas is on, isn't it? But Jesus is making choices, isn't he? And he is making himself known. Let's look at the next bit from verse 10 onwards. Simon Peter. Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So here's Peter. Now, this is strange, isn't it? Is he on Jesus' side? Well, kind of. But he's not understood who Jesus is and what he's come to do. Look at this, verse 7, Jesus commanded Peter, put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? Peter is using the methods of the world to bring in the kingdom. And Jesus says, no, 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 that's not the way it must be. So Peter is going the way of the world. We've seen lots of the ways of the world recently, haven't we, in terms of taking up a sword and fighting. But that's not the way that King Jesus, God's King, brings in the kingdom that it's so important to be part of. It is right at times for Christians to bear swords, but not to bring in God's kingdom. Look at the next bit. The soldiers, verse 12 onwards, the soldiers, then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas. Well, that's quite clear, isn't it, that these soldiers are on the side of the world. They're going to do what the world wants, saying no to Jesus as God's king. And look, then we come to Peter again. Look at verse 15. Simon Peter and another disciple, look, they were following Jesus. They're following the king. It says that, doesn't it? Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back and spoke to the girl on duty there and brought Peter in. "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" the girl at the door asked Peter. He replied, look what he replies, "I am not." Oh dear. He's not following Jesus, is he, as God's king? A difficult choice. A difficult decision. No, he's following the way of the world that's saying no to Jesus as God's king. And look what it then says. Isn't this striking? It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they'd made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. So Peter denies Jesus, goes the way of the world, and he goes the way of comfort and warmth and the approval of the crowd. Okay, look on. What we've called here the elders, or we might say the religious leaders. All right, one last. Let's just look. He says, let's pick it up in verse 22. When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby struck him in the face. "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" Jesus has replied to his questions. So Jesus is being struck. The way that he's got to go is to be struck and abused. And then look, verse 22, "If I said something wrong," Jesus replied, "testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?" Do you see what Jesus is saying? Look, actually, I'm innocent. Then Annas sent him, still bound, to Caiaphas, the high priest. So the elders, the soldiers, Peter, Judas, all going the way of the world. And Jesus, God's king, is alone. But Peter has another opportunity, doesn't he? Verse 25, "As Simon Peter stood warming himself, he was asked, 'Are you not one of his disciples? You're not one of his disciples, are you?' He denied it, saying, 'Oh, I am not.'" So he's going to say no to Jesus as God's king. He's going to desert him and go the way of the world. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?" Another opportunity. Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a cock began to crow. The way of the world saying no to Jesus as God's king. God's King Jesus, innocent, rejected, suffering, alone. Difficult choices, both sides. Let's not forget that Jesus was making choices too, as we'll see. Let's sing before we look at the second part of the talk. See him in challenging choices, going the way of the world that we've seen. And Jesus has to make difficult, challenging choices as God's Son, the divine Son, God's King. But why does Jesus have... Could I have my PowerPoint back? Thanks. Why does Jesus have to die? Why must he make these challenging choices? Innocent, rejected, suffering, alone, all alone. Well, the first one is clue, you'll see, is in verse 11. Just look at it again to see how he replies. When Peter takes up the sword, Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. This is not the way that the kingdom's going to come, God's kingdom. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" And this is one of those moments when you need to know your Old Testament, of course, that are Christian scriptures. We understand them fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at this verse from Isaiah. I could have picked verses from Jeremiah or the Psalms, but this is a simple verse from Isaiah. "Awake, awake, rise up, Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath." Now, this is a prophecy that Isaiah made. Jerusalem, God's people, were being judged for their sin. They had turned away from God. They'd gone the way of the world. And Isaiah says, "You have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath." So what is this cup that Jesus speaks of here as he moves on to his trial and death? It is the cup of God's wrath. And remember that God's wrath is his just anger for sin. His just anger for sin. It's his righteous anger for sin. I am pretty sure that all of us have been righteously angry at times. When Vladimir Putin invades Ukraine and inflicts suffering on people like he's done, we are rightly angry. There is a righteous anger, isn't there? Now, God is holy and he is justly angry against all sin. All sin. And that includes ours. So a difficult choice. Who will drink the cup? Who will drink the cup? Now, I've asked for one or two people just to come up and help me. Emily and Lucy, I'd like you to come. Ben, come. And I think Charlotte's the other person. Where's Charlotte? Up you come, all right? And they're going to play my game, who will drink the cup? So if you stand on the front, I'll stand down here, all right? And they're baby beakers, all right, all right? So this is who will drink the cup, right? So I think I'll go you last because you're a boy, all right? And you can pick one, all right? What would you like to pick? Who will drink the cup? Oh, that's okay. Okay. Now, let me say you don't have to do it, all right, if you don't want to, all right? All right, you can take the top off if you want, if you don't want to be like a baby, okay? Okay, and all right, so I'd like you to drink, all right. <What's that? laughs> Okay, who's gonna drink and tell me what they think it, what it is?
I know what it is.
You know what it is. Charlotte.
Lemon
It's lemon juice, all right? Is it pleasant?
Is that lemon juice?
Well, no, that's not lemon juice. It's like a lemon.
It was like lemon squash.
No, it's like a lemon. Could be lime, all right? So neat lime cordial. Lemon juice. You're finishing it. Is it not horrible?
No.
All right.
It's like Worcestershire sauce.
not bad, actually. What is it? It's just very strong coffee. All right, very strong coffee. Very strong coffee. And yours is
vinegar.
Yeah. Oh, that's very impressive. There you are. You put them down. Well done. Okay, well done. Just go and do it. I think you should just applaud that. Very good, very good. All right. Okay. So there's the question. Who will drink the cup that must be drunk? You'll be smelling of vinegar for the rest of the day. It's good, isn't it? And it's nice to laugh. But this, of course, is very serious, isn't it? Awake, awake, arise up, Jerusalem. You've drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath. And Jesus says, shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? And he must make the choice to drink the cup of God's wrath for sin. Now, he does that. He saves his people from God's wrath by dying on their behalf. So Jesus comes and makes the choice to drink the cup of God's wrath when he dies on the cross, and he dies on behalf of his people. Just look at verse 14, a little clue which is going to run through as we read John's Gospel all the way up to Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Verse 14, Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews it would be good if one man died for the people, on behalf of the people. So why does Jesus have to die? Innocent, rejected, suffering, alone, to save his people from God's wrath, God's just wrath for our sin, by dying on their behalf. One more illustration. Who will drink a really, really horrible drink? Gareth, come and stand here. Come and stand here, Gareth.
I don't remember volunteering for this.
Come here. Stand there. Now, I've just been doing a bit of research about really, really horrible drinks, all right? Good. Okay. And the first one is up there, all right? And it is panda dung tea from China, all right? Nice. Which apparently is a speciality in China. They love it. How do you feel about panda dung tea? I've gone to great lengths to get one of these four in here.
Oh, right.
Okay.
And
I've dragged you.
All
right, okay. Now this is baby mice wine from Korea.
I'm definitely going with the panda.
This is another apparently great speciality, and of course will heal you of all kinds of things. All right, baby mice wine from Korea. Now, this is an interesting one. I couldn't put the full description of this up because this is an all-age service. But it is dung-smoked whale beer from Iceland. I'll tell you afterwards if you want to know what else is in it. But dung-smoked whale beer from Iceland. And the last one is cowpea soda from India. All right.
I don't know why I'm thinking about it. I don't get to choose, do I? Because I mean, it's there.
All right. So I've made you come and do this, haven't I? I forced you.
Volunteering.
No, you didn't volunteer. I did make you. So the cowpea soda from India. Do you notice the strap line? It's good for mankind. Okay. Now I have made Gareth come up here. All right. And I got it here. All right. But no, I don't want you to do it. That would be unfair. All right, I will step in. I will step in and drink the cup. Now, of course, that makes a serious point, very, very important point, that God's King, Jesus, the Son of God, voluntarily went to the cross, stood alone, rejected suffering. He wasn't forced to do it by his Heavenly Father. Whatever some people say, they misunderstand what was happening at the death of Jesus. He stepped in voluntarily out of love for his Father, out of love for people like us, sinners, a substitute who drinks the cup of God's wrath in our place. So he stands alone. Look at these verses from John 6. Whose side will you be on this week, wherever we are, at work, in our retirement, at school, at college, whatever we're doing in our leisure activities, whose side will be on this week? I love this, that failure as a sinner is not final when we look to Jesus and believe in him. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 6, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he's given me, fulfilled in this part of the run-up to Good Friday, those verses, but look, raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. So we're to look to the Son and keep looking to the Son and believe in him. And that, of course, means eternal life. Eternal life knowing God and the forgiveness of our sins. Praise him. Praise him. That failure as a sinner is not final when we look to him. His grace goes on when we look to him and believe in him. And of course, he gives us his help to stand for him and not go the way of the world. We'll want to pray, won't we, for lots of different situations that we'll face, all very different in this congregation, young, old. Please help me to stand for Jesus this week, not deny him, not desert him, to live for him as we should. And he wants to help us to do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this rich story with so many details which help us to understand the meaning of the cross. Please help us to read this account from John's Gospel over the coming weeks, as we'll be doing on Sundays, to reflect further on it prayerfully. And thank you for this wonderful reminder that Jesus chose the path of suffering and rejection and abuse to be alone, to drink the cup of your wrath for our sin, dying on our behalf and in our place, so that we might have eternal life. Thank you that failure as a sinner is not final when we look to Jesus and believe on him. So this week, Father, please help us. Thank you for your forgive us constantly for when we do fail you, as Peter did. But thank you too that you're always willing to help us to stand clearly for Jesus and to speak for him and to live for him in all our different situations, in Jesus' name, amen.